And we'll just go in our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. As we turn to John chapter 3, I'm going to ask if Sam will hand something out for me, and one for every family. This is a very unusual topic tonight, but it's something that I talk about maybe once every 5 years. And you might learn something tonight you never heard of before, never knew. I don't think it's the most important thing in the world, but I do think it's something that's important enough to talk about. And when I give you this handout, a lot of Bible verses are on the first page, and we'll read right from those verses. For the sake of time, we'll read right from those verses, and we'll read the verses off the page. You can always turn in your Bible and make sure that I didn't misprint the verses. But I printed one for at least every family to have a copy. And are you short or you got enough? All right. Everybody, every couple or individual has one. And so if you didn't get one, can you sit with someone who's got one? And they can help you, and you can flip and look and watch theirs. All right. I have more even that I gave you, but I don't want to burn up a lot of paper. But if you would like more on this topic, I'll be glad to give it to you. But I titled this 10 years ago and taught it in our old building, Witches, Wizards, and Halloween. About 10 years ago, more than now, Harry Potter was pretty popular. He's still, I think, popular, but he was real popular back then. And it's not just Harry Potter, and it's not just Halloween. It's just that we get conditioned to think that things like witches and wizards are okay. And what I'm going to show you is every time the Bible talks about it, it talks very negative about it. There's no such thing as the pretty white witch, what is it, of the east or the west or whatever, and then the one that's all green and with black, you know, I don't remember which one is east and which one is west, but you know what I'm talking about, the Wizard of Oz. But the Bible never speaks of it in lighthearted terms, and it's just an introduction, you know, it's just an introduction to other stuff and other serious stuff. And then you got Halloween, and a lot of people don't even know what Halloween's all about. And if I was a kid, the only thing I'd be worried about is getting my candy and having a good time. And that's probably what most people think. But let me just read you some verses from the handout. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, like crystal ball, or an observer of times, astronomy, and or astrology, the which one is it? I get the two mixed up. Astrology and the signs, you know, that what sign are you and all that stuff. And what is that? Horse, zodiac, yeah. Or an enchanter or a witch. Okay, so the Bible talks about witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. What is a necromancer? All right? Necromancer is someone who tries to communicate with the dead, talk to the dead. By the way, praying to Mary is necromancy. Praying to Mary. Praying to Mother Mary, that's necromancy. And that shouldn't happen. The Bible speaks out against it. Necromancy, trying to talk to someone who's dead. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess shall hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Don't do like the nations did before you. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital P, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And that prophet is Jesus. And that was a prophecy way back in Deuteronomy. Isaiah 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? By the way, Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, was a person who had a special crystal, and he looked in a hat and peep, you know. to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they are speaking against the word of God, and what they're telling you or teaching you is against the word of God, there is no light in them. So that's the testimony against them. Isaiah, and by the way, that's why we need to know our Bibles. We need to know our Bibles. Isaiah 19, verse 3, the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So it was a death sentence to be a witch. That's why in America in the early days, now I think it could have been, I wasn't there, and I don't know the history very well, but you've heard of the Salem witch trials. And we've heard of witch hunt. And it can be abused. The whole idea can be abused. However, there are witches out there. And Wiccans, Wicca. And there are politicians. Didn't Hillary try to communicate with Eleanor Roosevelt? Something like that. And I just remember what Bob Dole said. He said, my wife's so brilliant, Eleanor Roosevelt is trying to communicate with her. But anyway, Hillary tried to communicate with Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, we're talking straight out of witchcraft, okay? Wizards and wizardry, not suffer a witch to live. Wicca, it's all the same thing. Leviticus 19:31, regard them, not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards go a whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. And a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. That's God's attitude towards it. 1 Samuel 15. Now, you know, King Saul, we've been talking about David in Sunday school. King Saul started to rebel against the Lord. 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. If our little friend was still sitting by Sam, I would say to her, stubbornness, God doesn't like that, right? And it's not just her, it's all of us. Stubbornness and rebellion. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And we're not going to read it tonight, but back in Deuteronomy, you'll find where God said a rebellious son who doesn't listen to his mother and father needs to be stoned to death. Whoa! But you know what? It wouldn't take more than one or two stonings and the rest of the kids in the town would say that. I don't want to be the next pile of rocks. And so that's God's, we read that, we say that's God's mind on it. That's what God's saying. All right? Now you can be assured that I'm not going to go find Harry Potter and stone him. All right? This was the law for the Old Testament times, but it's still God's word and it still is the mind of God. All right? 1 Samuel 28. By the way, the guy that played Harry Potter in the movies, he's a wicked individual. All right. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. See the progression? Chapter 15, and now 13 chapters later, look what Saul's doing. He's actually looking for a woman that hath a familiar spirit, a witch. Because he is so far away from God, he didn't think he was far away from God in chapter 15, but by chapter 28, he's gotten so far away from the Lord that he is now going to the illegal witches for help. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. He said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said to him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? She didn't even realize it was Saul. She said, you know, it's illegal. And it should have been back then. I mean, that was God's law. And I wouldn't be against it if it was still illegal. But let's keep going. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. That was the result of all this. And it started with rebellion. Even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. So the Lord, the Bible includes the fact that he talked to this witch and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Why didn't Saul ask God for advice? Because he couldn't. He wasn't right with the Lord. When you're not right with the Lord, you can't pray to him. And so Saul had to go to a witch instead, or at least he thought he did. Galatians 5:19. That now we're in the New Testament. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, with are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, carousings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. By the way, not only do some Hollywood movies make witch movies, but they make them to look, and I don't like to use the word, so I won't use it, but you know, they make them to look sensual. All right? And it's all totally of the flesh and wicked and spiritually idolatry. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21-22 says, prove all things, and that's what we should do, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Test all things and decide what's right. And, of course, you have the Bible to help you decide that. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So, based on everything we've read so far, should you ever dress up like a witch or a warlock or a wizard? Or no, because we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. And there is no such thing as ghosts from the dead who come back and visit us. All right? There is no such things as that. We know that that's not correct. That's not right. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, we have Halloween coming up soon, and I just want to give you some things to think about and to be aware of and reminded of, because no one else is going to remind you of that. It's not going to be something that they're going to talk about. I don't know how many times even a modern Christian radio would even talk about this, but the history of Halloween is not good, and the more you scratch it, the worse it gets. It's just the celebration of the dead, and the Druids and the Celtics, the Celts, mixed in with the Romans, and all the, and I'm not going to read everything that I gave you tonight. This comes from history.com from 10 years ago, and I just printed it out then. And the practices that go on and the different things about it. Let me just summarize by telling you that there's lots of different traditions that go on. First of all, I want to say that one of the things that I'm sad, and it's not really official this way, but we think of Halloween as a holiday. But you know what holiday? You know what holiday is really a shortened term for holy day. And I've got I didn't give it to you, but I have a different handout where a witch who loves Halloween writes a pamphlet arguing the good things for Halloween, and in there they write that it is their holy day. You and I know that Halloween is considered a special day to Satanists and witchcraft and these type of people. We know that. We know that, for instance, we know there's animal sacrifices that go on this time of year. And any animal sacrifice is wicked, no matter what's going on. It's just, and when Jesus died on the cross, animal sacrifices stopped. And you've heard black cats, you know, a black cat, you know, supposedly a witch turns into a black cat, walking under a ladder. You've heard of that. But, you know, there's some old traditions like in America. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you'll see it in the next few pages. But there's a picture of it on your handout of a postcard from about 100 years ago. And they used to send out Halloween greeting cards. And what it was is they had this superstition that a young lady could look in the mirror with all the lights off, and she could see the face of her future husband in the mirror. But if she was going to die the next year, she would see the face of a skeleton instead of her future husband over her shoulder in the mirror. They used to carve or skin apples, peel apples, and they try to peel it as long, you know how you peel the apple as long as you can get it? And they peel it real long, and that would be like the longevity of their life. And then they fling it over their shoulder, and if it landed and formed a certain letter, that was supposed to tell them a clue. This is all superstitions type stuff. And this comes from this quote-unquote holy day, this holiday that has been introduced to our country years ago. And there's a lot of, well, just about everything that we know of Halloween has a connection to things in the past. Let me just flip all the way to, I guess it would be the fifth page maybe, and it says, taken from Wikipedia back in 2010. And that's where I got it, all right? Let me just read this to you. Celtic pagans, it's the italicized words at the bottom of that one page. You see that there? Celtic pagans consider the season a holy time of year. Celtic reconstructionists and others who maintain ancestral customs make offerings to the little g gods and the ancestors. Some Wiccans feel that the tradition is offensive to Wiccan practitioners for promoting stereotypical characters of wicked witches. They don't like that, being called wicked witches. Pagans most often celebrate this day as Samhain, and that's it's not spelled the way it sounds, but Samhain, and observe the end of the harvest season. There's kind of an evolution of how we got to Halloween. Samhain was what it was called years ago. It eventually turned into All's Hallow Eve. And what happened is the Catholic Church, and this is what the Catholic Church does a lot of times. The Catholic Church will move into a new area, and they'll try to blend their religion in with the local traditions. You see that here in America, and on the reservations you see that, and in every country you see that. They'll blend in whatever is the natural traditional stuff that the natives are already doing, and they'll try to blend it in with their religion. And so, I don't know, it was like 800 AD or something. It's in your handout, but one of the popes, Pope Pius the something or other, he decided to make November 1st All Saints Day. And then November 2nd was the day was to recognize those that had died. But October 31st was considered the Day of the Dead, and is still considered the Day of the Dead in many parts of the world. And the idea of recognizing the dead. Now, I have nothing wrong with memorial service or remembering those. But you know what? When you're a Christian, first of all, are we still memorializing the dead? Or do we recognize them as being alive if they're a believer? I mean, Jesus said, God never said he used to be the God of Abraham. He used to be the God of Isaac. No, God said, I am the God of Abraham. Okay, so I am the God of Isaac. All right, so, you know, Mrs. Adams, Karen Adams, is still alive, and God is still her God, just like God is still Abraham's God. You say, no, she's not, she's dead. In your world, she's dead, but not in God's world. God's world's bigger than your world. And so this idea of going backwards and you know, going into the death. I mean, think about it. Well, let me just tell you this story. It happened 5 years ago. There's this woman that was killed in Chillicothe, Ohio, 5 years ago in October. And she hung dangling from a fence for days. You know why she hung for days dead? Because the people who saw her thought she was a Halloween decoration. Let me ask you a question. If you are involved in some kind of a celebration which would cause maybe decorations to be confused with real live dead bodies, there's a problem with that celebration. I mean, think about it. If dead bodies can be confused with the decorations that you're celebrating, there's something wrong with your celebration. Does that make sense? We shouldn't be celebrating death. Now, Pastor Matt is not against costumes. If you come here during Vacation Bible School, we wear costumes, we dress up, we do fun stuff. When I was a little kid, I think I was the Incredible Hulk one year, and my sister was Tigger the Tiger. But there came a time when my parents said, we're not going to do that anymore. I never, ever remember being a skeleton or a monster or a ghost or whatever. And the point is that we just don't. And so Pastor Matt's not against costumes, but I just won't do it on October 31st because I know what the world wants to call it. Now, sometimes when we've had October 31st fall on a Wednesday, we've tried to, you know, flip it, you know, and say, let's be a Bible character, all right? And so we've had girls come dressed up like a princess, and there are queens in the Bible, I guess, and, you know, we've had to be understanding, especially with the kids whose parents aren't even saved. Pastor Matt's not against costumes or having fun. Pastor Matt's not against candy. We like candy. But we need to recognize that this is just a devil's holiday. I mean, there's just nothing good about it. Now, Pastor Matt's not against freedom of religion and freedom of expression. I was listening to the radio, I think it was yesterday. There's no law against Halloween or trick-or-treating in South Dakota. Now, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, now, what I'm talking about is COVID, all right? I'm glad there isn't a law. I'm glad we're free to go door-to-door and knock on the door. Because you know what? I want to go door-to-door and knock on the door for a different reason, you know? And so as far as an American and as a South Dakotan, I'm glad that they're, you know, I'm glad they're not so stupid as they are in some other states where they've shut down life and liberty. But as a Christian, I don't want to celebrate or have anything to do with this stuff, okay? Remember one year, I think it was the first year that my dad said, no, I don't want my kids to go trick-or-treating. So I think, and he didn't have money. He was back in Bible college. He didn't have a lot of money. But he went to the grocery store, and he bought this, like, you know, gallon ice cream-sized bucket full of, like, caramel corn and Cheetos or whatever, and he gave it to my sister and I, like, I'm not going to let you go trick-or-treating, but here's some candy or whatever. And I think I ate half of it and got sicker than a dog that night. But, you know, he was trying to make up for it and letting me and my sister know that, hey, I'm not trying to rob you of fun. I just don't want to celebrate this. And that was a good thing, I think, in for him to do. Let me read the second paragraph. Some games traditionally played at Halloween are forms of divination. A traditional Scottish form of divining one's future spouse is to carve an apple in one long strip, then toss the peel over one's shoulder. The peel is believed to land in the shape of the first letter of the future spouse's name. Unmarried women were told that if they sat in the darkened room and gazed into a mirror on Halloween night, the face of their future husband would appear in the mirror. However, if they were destined to die before marriage, a skull would appear. The custom was widespread enough to actually be commemorated on greeting cards in the early 20th century, and you can see it on the next page, an example of that greeting card. And I have no problem with greeting cards, but I'm not interested in that kind of a greeting card. You know, Walt Disney's big on this stuff. Walt Disney was big onto this witchcraft stuff. And I do not trust a lot of Disney. There's some Disneys that I think were good videos or good movies, but there's a lot of Disneys out there, especially the cartoon Disneys. You watch out for the innuendos and the behind the scenes or the fast-paced cartoon stuff that's flying by at real fast speed. There's stuff in the Walt Disney cartoons that I can't show you in church. If I slow it down and show you and freeze frame it, it's vulgar. Remember the rescuers, the two mice that were flying around in a plane and all this stuff? The Walt Disney cartoon, The Rescuers. When I was a kid, that was a cartoon movie. There's a freeze frame where there's a naked lady standing in the window as the thing's zooming by. The Disney characters and drawers were doing weird stuff. And Lion King is way worse than that. Okay? There's just a lot of stuff there. And the singers and the homosexuals involved. But anyway, let's get back to what we're talking about. But understand that I am not calling people wicked. And if this doesn't happen because I don't live on the main drag in Custer, South Dakota. But if someone knocked on my door, ding dong, trick or treat, trust me, I am not going to stand there and lecture that little goblin or whatever he is and tell him he's an evil person. He didn't have a clue, you know. He's there for candy, man. You know what I mean? There's no way I'm going to preach at them. I'm not going to preach this to the people on the street when I see them in a couple weeks. Why? Because they're not in church right now. This is who I'm talking to about this, all right? There's bigger issues to talk about in the general. But in this here, as Christians, we need to recognize there's really nothing. That's why I read that verse at the end of all the verses. I read, what communion hath light with darkness? That's the point. Now, I'll tell you this. If I lived in a place where it was inevitable, they're going to go right back past my door, and they're going to knock on my door, and they're going to ask me for something. If I lived in a place like that, and maybe you do, I don't. But if I lived where I was getting hammered every year for trick-or-treaters, you know what I would do? I'd already have them ordered. I'd have a special Halloween-themed tract to give with some kind of nice treat for them to get the gospel. Not something that said, yo, look at people. No, but to give them the gospel. I mean, if they're going to knock on my door, hand them something. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not endorsing it. I'm not encouraging it. Pastor Matt has never watched Poltergeist, but I know it's evil. I don't know anything about Friday the 13th movies, but I know they're evil. I know Freddy Krueger is a bad dude, and I don't ever want to watch anything about it. There's a lot of filthy stuff that just fills your mind with. You say, well, that thrills me. It shouldn't. It's thrilling the wrong side of you. I don't mind a mystery, but I don't need the gory details. There's a difference between a mystery and the gory details and a guy, you know, ripped off the person's head and stuck his shoe in his throat or something. I mean, that's ridiculous, okay? We don't need that. But you know what? Kids are growing up with this, and it's on their games and their video games, cartoons or video games. It's just, and we're just used to violence and blood and guts. It's just wrong. It's garbage. And you're entering into witchcraft, sorcery, and of course the drug culture. It all goes together. But I promise you, there's just nothing that's tied to any of this stuff we're talking about tonight that really has positive roots to it. It's all negative. I'll read you the jack-o'-lantern story. Now, honestly, personally, I know who made the pumpkin. You know who made the pumpkin? God made the pumpkin. If you carve a face in a pumpkin, I won't think you're an idolater, okay? If you put a candle in a pumpkin, I don't think you're an idolater. But let me read you the story of jack-o'-lantern, all right? People have been making jack-o'-lanterns at Halloween for centuries. The practice originated from an Irish myth about a man nicknamed Stingy Jack. According to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. True to his name, Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. Once the devil did so, Jack decided to keep the money and put it into his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back into the original form. Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year and that, should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. The next year, Jack again tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. While he was up in the tree, Jack carved a sign of the cross onto the tree's bark so that the devil could not come down until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years. Soon after Jack died, as the legend goes, God would not allow such an unsavory figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick Jack had played on him and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. He sent Jack off into the dark night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved-out turnip and has been roaming the earth ever since. The Irish began to refer to this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern, and then simply Jack-o'-lantern. In Ireland and Scotland, people began to make their own versions of Jack's lanterns by carving scary faces into the turnips or potatoes and placing them in the windows or near doors to frighten away Stingy Jack and other wandering evil spirits. In England, large beets were used. Immigrants from these countries brought jack-o'-lantern tradition with them when they came to the United States, and they soon found that the pumpkin, a fruit native to America, made the perfect jack-o'-lanterns. There's so much wrong with that story, it's pathetic. I mean, first of all, you do not manipulate the devil. The devil manipulates you. outside of Jesus Christ, you don't make any deals with the devil, and you don't have that kind of power over the devil, and nobody is so bad that they don't go to heaven or hell. They go to hell if they're not saved, and they go to heaven if they're saved. And the idea that Stingy Jack is roaming the earth and we're going to stick a candle in a pumpkin to keep him from getting us. And honestly, that's why they put masks on. They put masks on because they thought that the ghosts wouldn't recognize them if they wear a mask, because all these ghosts are walking around on October 31st. That's what I'm saying. There's just so much about it that's just goofy, backwards, and so not what the Bible says. I asked you to go to John chapter 3 and verse number 18, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God, only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What's the scene in these scary movies? What's the scene? Is it early morning? No, it's late at night. What time does trick-or-treating normally happen? At night. Look, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And there's just so much, out there. And Hollywood, I should have said this earlier when I was talking about it, but Hollywood has so many filthy movies, and there's so many that I can't even think of off the top of my head. And like I say, I don't watch them. I remember walking into a house probably 15 years ago or more in Newcastle. And it was like Anchor Club, you know, and I was picking up kids or whatever, and knocked on the door, and they were watching this movie. The movie was like episode 2 or episode 3 of a movie I had seen the original when I was a little kid and never seen any other since. But and so I recognized the character and the storyline, but it was horrifying. I was an adult married man with children, and I was horrified at what I was watching. It was wicked. It was satanic. It was like human sacrifice. It was just awful. And I only saw it for maybe a minute or two as I was waiting for the children to come out. Listen, we're allowing our children to be filled with their minds filled with this. Maybe adults filling your minds with this, or books that you read. Get rid of them. You know, in the book of Acts, they took the books and things that they had on this subject and they burned them. I can't remember if it's Acts 18, but it's one of the chapters of Acts. It was like 50,000 something silver. I mean, it was a lot of money's worth of this type of stuff, paraphernalia of sorcery and witchcraft and curious books and things like that. There's nothing wrong with burning movies and books that are wrong for you. I haven't even talked about the rock music industry. But the phrase, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, sell your soul to the devil. I mean, that's not just words. There's real truth behind what they're saying there. And there's rock music doesn't belong in a Christian's home, period. The whole phrase, rock and roll, you know what that means? Came from a disc jockey in California talking about young men and women going and parking somewhere and making that car rock and roll. That's where the phrase comes from. That's where the original phrase rock and roll comes from. There's no reason for that to be in a Christian's life. And the beat behind those things, years and years ago, a missionary from America was in some native, you know, foreign, heathen-type, third-world place. But some of these people were getting saved, and they were getting saved out of their very wicked background. And he was working with them, and he had this group from America come, and some of the young people from America came, and they had their battery-operated tape players, and they were playing their Christian rock music. Now, these natives that are not American can't understand English words, but the natives said to the missionary, "Why are your American friends playing the same music that we used to play when we worshiped the witch in the witch doctors, with the witch doctors?" They recognized the beat. It was a similar beat to what they were used to. They used to make their drums out of skulls. That was the original drum was made out of a skull with a, you know, leather tied over the top. There's just a lot of stuff that comes from pagan and foreign countries. And by the way, that's why cremation, I think, got started, because when you're not following the Word of God teaches, you know, death, burial, resurrection, you know. And again, I don't want to get off on the cremation right now. We can talk about that later. God will still, you're going to heaven even if you got cremated. You're already in heaven if you're saved. The point is that there's a lot of pagan culture that comes into America, and if we don't stand up against it because we're not familiar with our word, with what the Bible says, and we allow ourselves to get bent towards it, we end up falling for stuff we shouldn't fall for. So you'll see it. You'll see it at school. There'll be costumes and decorations and whatnot. And you might disagree or whatever. I just know this. There's a difference between, you know, a costume of a cowboy or a costume of a horse or a costume of something innocent versus a costume of a skeleton, a costume of a witch, a costume of a ghost, a costume of some kind of goon or whatever. You know the difference. There's a difference between all that. And these haunted houses, I love being scared. I love scaring people. I think it's fun. As long as you don't do it to me, I like it. But seriously, there's just so much about this that when you look at it, you're just like, how can I really can't have a part in that. Come out from among them, be separate. And so I decided a long time, of course my dad and mom decided even before I did, but once in a while I'll pull it out, I'll dust it off, and I'll read through some of this stuff, and I'll say, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And then just going back and look at what the Bible says concerning wizards, witchcraft, sorcery, and on and on. So what would I do? Well, here at our church, if we happen to have it coincide, sometimes we'd call it a harvest party. Some Christians don't even like that, but that's their choice. And so we'd just have fun at the church, and we just do stuff at the church, and we would not encourage anyone to dress up in any kind of worldly, ungodly way. And I remember one time having a contest to dress up like a Bible character. Have you ever read the story in Judges about Eglon, the fat king? And Ehud was a left-handed guy, and Ehud took his dagger and stuck it into the fat king's belly. And when he stuck it in, of course, he stuck it in hard, but he was so fat, the fat surrounded the handle of the dagger, and Ehud couldn't get his, you know, he couldn't get his dagger back out. It was just stuck in the belly, you know. It's a true story. It's in the Bible. And so Ehud left with his dagger in the guy, you know. And Ehud was a judge. God used him to deliver him from this evil fat king. I told you all that story to tell you this. I came one time to one of these things at church dressed up like Eglon, the fat guy. I had a Burger King crown on. I had my dad's robe on. I had a couple pillows stuffed in, and I had a knife sticking out the end of my belly. And I came dressed up like that. There's nothing wrong with having fun. And it was all a Bible character, see? It has nothing to do with devil worship or sorcery and all that. I don't want to ruin anyone's fun. I just want you to understand you don't have to do it the world's way. And sure as the world, there's always some bad story sometime somewhere that'll come out about a Halloween event that was really bad. And you know, I don't know how true it is all the time, but you hear about, you know, animals that go missing, children that go missing, and on and on. The point is this, is that we should be in the light, not in the darkness. And we should not encourage our young people to watch things. And I know there's probably some of us in here, and maybe your children, you've watched something, or they're familiar, very familiar with maybe even some movies that I've mentioned. Or movies I haven't mentioned, but you can think of. I don't even know what all they're out there. But there's probably even a cable channel that's dedicated just to this type of stuff. Probably. But all I'm trying to say is don't allow your family to be influenced. Now, before I was even old enough to write my own name, Hollywood started out a lot more innocent, right? Innocent. You know, you had Bewitched, remember? Wiggle Your Nose, Twinkle Twinkle. And you had the Munsters and the Addams Family. And there was a lot of comedy in there, you know, but it didn't take long for Hollywood to go into much more deeper stuff, right? And we just need to be aware of what we're teaching our kids. And I don't want to give you such a strict standard that's my standard. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and direct you. But hopefully, if you have never heard this before, then hopefully you're saying, hey, I can think of some things right now in our family that needs to change. Some stuff in my house that needs to go and need to change some stuff, need to get rid of that. Because the devil loves death. The devil loves to worship and to glorify death and human dying. And that's, you say, well, what about like war and war games? It's still evil. It's still horrible. I mean, guys come back with terrible things in their head. And so understand that there's no reason why I want my kids. I remember a few years ago, we bought this for our Wii game. We had a Wii game. We don't play it very much, hardly ever. Here's my Wii game, Duck Hunt. I love Duck Hunt. Sit on the couch, boom, 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 boom. That's my game. But there was this game, and it was some kind of other hunting game. Yeah. What was it? Dangerous Hunts. Well, it was like giving me nightmares. No, just kidding. But it was just over the top. It was just silly stuff. And it was just like, come on, we don't need that. That's not necessary. That doesn't make us better people with blood and guts and all that. It isn't necessary. And the devil likes that. The devil likes human sacrifice. The devil likes blood and guts. God doesn't. The devil does. The devil likes that type of stuff. And he wants us to delve in it, and he wants our kids to get warped with that thinking. And I hope you realize that we can do better, and we can filter out what the world has coming into our TVs, if you have a TV, what the world has coming into our radios, our computers, and our books, our libraries. And let me encourage you. Did anybody find that in the book of Acts, what chapter that was? I didn't think to look it up ahead of time, but I can tell you that there was a story in Acts where they were convicted and convinced that they owned a bunch of stuff that needed to be burned, and they didn't sell it at the yard sale. They burned it. Thousands of dollars worth of paraphernalia, they burned it because it was filth, and they knew God didn't want them to have it. Let me encourage you to do that if you need to tonight. And think twice about this upcoming satanic holiday that isn't holy at all, and what you can do differently maybe to change the direction of your family. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Word, for the light, for the truth that keeps us straight. Help us to find better things to read, better things to look at, better things to watch, better things to listen to. Help us to be wise, but still innocent. Help us to be innocent of some of these things that others have filled their minds with. And help us to desire our children to have a better thought life and imagination. Help us not to be overly judgmental about this or overly condemning people who don't know, don't understand. Help us instead to be kind and patient, and to look past these things and to see the big picture, which is they probably need to be saved. There's probably other things that need to change first before we talk about something like this. But help us as Wednesday night people to understand and to be aware that Satan is real, and that he likes to be glorified. He likes to be had in light fun. And help us to understand that he's not fun. He's evil, and he's very wrong. And so help us to be very much aware and sensitive as a people, sensitive in our spirit to things that would grieve you, and that our spirit that you've given us, the Holy Spirit, would be grieved, and that we would recognize the grief and not want to keep doing the same thing. Thank you for our freedom. Thank you for opportunity to talk tonight and to meet together. We ask that you be with us now as we go home. In Jesus' name, amen.